Accession number 19656, Reel 3.
Captain Hammond, Reel 3.
Then at a later date, we laid the minefield off Singapore itself, Singapore Harbour. And that was quite a fascinating job, laying mines. We laid them in lines, and you see a mine go over, stop on the surface and plop down and whatever, and you run another few yards or kilometres or whatever, and your next one went down. And that was quite a job that we did there. But at least I knew where the minefield was, which came in useful afterwards. And I think the next most interesting job that we had at that time was to go to Penang and operate out of Penang. We were with, I think, the DNA. It was the DNA. Because in Phuket Sound, which is in Thailand, were about half a dozen ships. One was called the Victoria, or Vittoria, Italian. And she was loaded to the gunwales with rubber and very a nice cargo. And I would think that, well, at least I know, the buzz was that the ship was going to sail, and the captain had been paid a large sum of money to sail. And, of course, we were going to be there waiting for her to sail. But as far as we were concerned, it was just an arrangement that had been made by the powers that be or whatever. Whoever, I don't know. Anyway, we used to approach Phuket at dusk and see whether the ship was there, then retire and whatever, and wait. And I would sit on the torpedo tubes with me helmet on, me revolver around my waist, as I was the boy that was going to do the boarding. But it didn't happen. She didn't sail. And after that, we went back to the humdrum JB patrol. I think it was December the 5th. 1941, when the two big ships arrived in Singapore, the reports on the Prince of Wales, it was. And anyway, they came in and anchored off the naval base, and that was that. Day was it? I think it was the next day. And then we had we were all to proceed with Repulse to show the flag in Australia. So we left the naval base, Repulse leading, we were astern. and we steamed towards Hobart. And we were about 24 hours out when we had an immediate recall. So we turned round and came back. Reports anchored at our usual spot, and we went alongside, and the tanker refueled and went back to the berth. That, I suppose, was December 6th. December the 8th, of course, we're still in the naval base. Two ships are anchored, and the drone of aircraft, lights all on in Singapore, crash bang wallop when the first bombs arrived, war with Japan. The two big ships fired a few ineffectual rounds, but that was that. So, of course, you can imagine the situation. At the time, the next day, I think, all the commanders, captains of ships, were called for on board the Prince of Wales for a conference, and they came back after the conference, and we discharged all our confidential papers and ashore and fueled, and I think on the 11th, I think the 11th, we sailed. There was the repulse, Prince of Wales, obviously, the I think there were four fleet destroyers, the Encounter. I can't quite remember their names anyway, but they're well documented. And ourselves. And we proceeded towards the Gulf of Thailand, or Siam, whatever, where it was reported a vast armada of Japanese ships with a complete sort of naval escort were proceeding towards Singapore, and that something had to be done, said the Admiral. Anyway, but I think about midnight or 2 o'clock in the morning, we were port wing of the screen going up. I think we sighted a torpedo tracks, but there was wireless silence anyway. But I don't know whether, I can't remember whether we reported them or not. But anyway, we were obviously saw torpedoes sort of fired, and then about they must have missed anyway, because there was no explosions. But then about 6 o'clock in the morning, a repulse or Prince of Wales what was it? I must remember this correctly. No, it was. We got a contact. and I think we were on off the Anambas. So we stayed, and we had this contact on the Aztec, and we were attacking it, or trying to attack it. In any case, while we were very busy sort of at this little game, about 27 aircraft came over. And I can always remember the yeoman who was singing, looking up, and he said, "They're not Brewster Buffaloes or whatever." He said, "I think they're Japanese." Anyway, they turned around, they came again and crossed over us. And then they turned round again and attacked from high level. And by that time we'd hit up to about 30 knots anyway. But the whole load of 27 planes was dropped. And I remember the captain saying, "One, he'd watched them leave the Bombays, you know, and he said, "One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, ten, starboard 20. I can always remember that stuck in my mind, starboard 20. And we turned to starboard. And at 30 knots, we heeled, of course. As we turned to starboard, we heeled. And the whole load of bombs fell on our port side. And it nearly turned us over, but as we were heeled, we had that extra buoyancy. Anyway, we had half a dozen holes through the forward funnel, and only one casualty. And he wasn't. He was a bit of shrapnel in him, not too bad. Then, of course, they found the big ships, and it was a real attack that went off there. And they were sunk, as you well know.
Did you see anything of that?
No, we only heard it. It's gunfire to the north. And no English plane appeared. There's absolutely no air cover. No. Anyway, the other destroyers came back and fully loaded with all the people that they could have, that they'd saved, we preceded them to Singapore. I think we were the first in. But we actually were the first to be attacked, and we broke wireless silence and whatever.
So Tenedos didn't pick up any survivors?
No, not at that time. So then on, we got back. So the next, of course, I mean, the war, of course, went against us from that day onwards. There was no air cover, there was no navy to intercept ships as such. And the Japanese started walking down the coast, didn't they? And the British Army, the Australian Army, the Indians and whatever walked in front of them.
So what was Tenedos doing? What was the duties of Tenedos?
Then, I think the next job we did was to evacuate the Brook Popham. He was went out in the Johan van der Olden Barnabout, and we escorted her down to Batavia. That was that episode. And of course, we were picking up convoys and bringing them into Singapore. After that, we were bombed a couple of times coming in. We didn't have any sort of casualties at that time. And then, I suppose, the last time in Singapore, things were getting really very, very, very serious. The army was definitely sort of retreating on all fronts and whatever. I did hear that the Argyle and Sutherland Highlanders came over the causeway 6 strong, and the Leicester Regiment 23 strong, and the Indians supposedly threw away their guns and walked across. And the Australians, I think, out of the whole division had 287 casualties. I repeat this with my tongue in my cheek, because I don't think either the Australians or the Indians covered themselves with any glory whatever. In point of fact, I think that the Australian commander, I won't mention his name, but he left before the capitulation. I managed to get himself back to Australia. I don't think he did any very much good after that, in any respect. Anyway, to make a long story short, we're anchored, it must have been about the 5th of February, and we were anchored in the Singapore Roads, and the captain's ashore, and the there's two Australian corvettes there, the Bentinck and the Bendigo. And the Bendigo people, I think, are, if I remember correctly, were over the side painting ship. And we're maybe a quarter of a mile anchored close. And all of a sudden, bang, crash, wallop. Three large caliber shells come hurtling over and land between us and the Bendigo. As I say, the captain's ashore. So, what to do? So, I took over. By that time, I was first lieutenant anyway. And I took over and took the ship and anchored her about 2 miles clear of the other ships. And the captain eventually arrived and he said, "Things are dreadful by this state there." He said, "We have to sail now." He said, "I don't know what's going to happen." He said, "The place is in the shambles." But we had to wait because we had to pick up all the records of whatever, you know, and we were loaded with full of more or less paper, not people. Anyway, off we went. And we rendezvoused the Hobart. In the... off Singapore, and we proceeded through the Banker Strait towards Indonesia, towards Jakarta. And I think we're leading, actually. And I was on watch, I think, and I sighted this smudge of smoke on the port bow. It we approached about quite quickly. It turned out to be a ship called the Nora Mulla. Nearly lost my life on her, I did. Anyway, she's on fire, been bombed, drifting. So Hobart passes us, and we go alongside the Nora Mulla. And the boats are down. The crew are in the boats with passengers underneath the bow. And we pull alongside. I jump aboard the Nora Mulla and have a look around and go down through the into the main companionway and underneath. And I felt a scrap of burning oil on the back of my neck. And I went back on deck again, and the captain shouted to me, "What do you think, number one?" "Oh, I don't like it, sir. Don't like it." And anyway, he said, "Well, let's get the crew and the boats across to the Hobart, and we organise that." And we're still alongside, and the crew, because the Hobart is getting anxious at the time. And then a couple of planes came over, and they didn't drop a bomb then, and but they were circling. Anyway, we got the boats across with the survivors of the Nora Mulla to the Hobart, and. The captain said, what are we going to do now? He said, "I don't know. He said, should we take her in tow?" "Well, no, we can't do that." And as I say, the planes came over again. So I ran forward and I dropped the anchor and anchored the ship. And he went full astern back and and I had to rush along the deck, and I jumped and I caught the rail as he was going back at about 20 knots. I got my feet clear just. As I say, it was a very, very near thing for me there. I nearly got myself killed on that one. But I didn't. So off we toddled back to Jakarta. And we operated from Jakarta, or Batavia as it was then. And of course, the Japanese were winning all along the line, and the fleet, as it was assembled in the area. There was all the Dutchmen and whatever. Including an American ship called the Houston. The Perth was there. There was quite a big air raid while we were there. And we were open fire on the Japanese, of course, then. And, of course, the Battle of the Java Sea sort of happened. And though we were on the fringe of it. We were never actually in it. But this Admiral Doorman was the Dutch Admiral. I think he took the ships over the minefield anyway, and I think half the ships were lost because of the minefield. But it was a disaster, as you well know.
Why was Tenedos on the fringe of it?
Because we were never actually in the battle.
You're not in the right area.
No, we were in the area. The hour five, there was the Dragon Dane scouting ourselves. There was a Hobart Dragon Dane scouting ourselves. That's right. We were the five.
Could you hear the battle?
No. No. I'm just going to.